Welcome to the Government CIO Agile Advocate Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Drew, and I'm here today with Nagesh Rao, Director of Business Technology Solutions for the Small Business Administration. Thanks for coming down to the podcast, Nagesh.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here today and come back to talk with you all at Government CIO and just have a fun conversation. I had a really great time last year when I did a podcast.
So actually, there's no coming down to the podcast. We're doing a virtual podcast, which would be pretty fun. So, gosh, you have a really interesting background. I mean, you have like the dream engineering degree, materials engineering from Rensselaer Tech. Is that right?
Yeah, from Rensselaer Polytechnic.
And then, well, I won't do it any justice. Why don't you tell our listeners, share our listeners what your background is and how you came to your position at Small Business Administration?
Sure. Thank you. So my background is definitely multidisciplinary in nature. I crave knowledge. I crave learning. And my background's, I guess, definitely eclectic and unique. I started off as a materials engineer and philosophy. That's my, you know, initial background. And then went from engineering and thinking about engineering to policy and law, where I got my master's in intellectual property law and worked in as an patent examiner at the patent office and also worked on policy issues for a while. And during that course of time, I ended up getting my MBA as well. And when I did that, that's when I fell in love with startups and venture capital and entrepreneurship and pursued that for a bit. But the calling of public sector called me back. And by day, I work in the public sector. And, you know, nights and weekends, I keep my brain active with side hustle private projects that I do with friends and colleagues from my, you know, friends in the global network. And I just crave knowledge. That's it. I work at that intersection between science, technology, policy, law, and business. And I pride myself on being able to jump around through those different orbitals like a catalyst, a radical ion, as one person called me once.
I love the way you just said, oh, and by the way, I got a law degree.
Oh, well, it's a master's in law, but yeah.
Oh, well, of course. So the SBA, some interesting components in there, something like the Idea Lab, which by itself just sounds interesting, right? Tell me about that and the other things you have that make up the SBA.
Yeah, so Idea Lab got formulated into our Office of the Chief Information Officer. So a couple of years ago, when I did a career pivot to go more into the IT side of public sector efforts, Maria Rote and Guy Cavallo, who've been amazing leaders for SBA's IT transformation, called me down and said, hey, we know you're thinking of something different. Why don't you consider working with us? And we took the notion of Idea Lab and everything else we were doing on DevSecOps and helping the agency be a bit more forward thinking when it comes to technology solutions and the use of technology solutions to augment the everyday work life balance at SBA for both the federal folks, but also for our stakeholder community whom we engage with. And the ethos of Idea Lab at first was just to be a convening hub that centralized and ideated solutions for problems like a Skunkworks team would do in a corporate environment, per se. And so I took that ethos when it was there and transformed it so that it came down and was run through the OCIO shop at SBA instead. And I revitalized our team to make us a bit more centrally focused at an enterprise level in digital services and digital products development. And as such, renamed us from Business Technology Solutions, BTS, to BITS, like the digital bit. And funny enough, I remember when I advocated and got the sign-off for doing that from Maria and Guy to say, hey, we're the BITS team, even though we're BTS, Business Technology Solutions, we're the BITS team. I had sent it off to some friends, and one of them was Steve Sasson, the inventor of the digital camera. And as a fan of the bit, of course, he was ecstatic when he heard that. And he's like, you know me, Nagesh, I love the bit and I love digital bits and you're taking the ethos forward. So it was kind of humbling that you're an old dear friend like Steve Sasson, who's a luminary in his world of technology solutions for betterment of the world, to give me his 2 cents and kudos. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Yeah. So you talk about an internal transformation, and it seems like everybody's doing the digital transformation, the reposturing of their organization to DevSecOps, trying to become that agile, high velocity organization on delivery. Talk to me about, if that is your mission, I believe it is, you know, where are you at with it? And what are some of the challenges you have?
Yeah, so thank you. And yes, that is definitely our mission right off the bat, is to look at technology development and technology solutions for the agency from that digital experience. Yes, it's the development, the security piece to it, and the operationalizing piece. And when you do that at an enterprise level with an agency that has a pretty fierce mandate You know, SBA is an agency that fights above its weight class. And the administrator, Carranza, who's taken over, she's awesome, by the way. And I've really enjoyed working for her as well. She understands that centralization play and IT ops play. In fact, I don't know if anyone knows this, but she used to run IT ops at one time when she during her career at UPS. And that's fascinating because she gets it. She understands that centralized delivery of information is important.
Hmm.
And I have to remind folks all the time, whenever I say it's the office of the chief information officer whom we report to at SBA, that CIO does not just mean technology only. Everyone thinks, oh, CIO means IT, IT, IT. And that's, I honestly believe that's a misnomer. CIO is IT, but it's more than IT. It's data, it's information sharing, it's demystification of information and democratization of information. And our administrator at SBA gets that. And she understands that because you can't make better policy decisions without smart information and smart data and data efficacy. But how do you get to that? Well, that comes back down to the DevSecOps model, where you are developing digital tools and digital services and whatnot at a level where you are considering the customer. And the customer from what we call the CX360 experience, where it's not just the federal viewpoint of that information, but the external stakeholders' engagement with that information and being able to harmonize it so that we can actually do something with it. You know, apples, oranges, whatever it may be, you know, they're fruits, and being able to break down those fruits into from a genus perspective to a species perspective, the way I see it. And so that, you know, when you're developing tools and then considering the security posture, because we are in government, and so we have to have risk posture that is a bit more risk averse. And I totally understand it. We take risk, but you take risk that you're calculated and that if you fail, you own the failure and move forward. But you got to keep that security piece in mind and not just make and develop cool stuff because you can do it. You do it because there's a purpose to it. And you do it in a secure manner, and then you operationalize it so people can actually make good use of it. And it's not just some clunky thing that people go, oh, great, they created this digital product, but it does nothing of what I wanted or expected it to do.
Right. I love the delivery of the shiny rock, and somebody has to take it because they paid for it and they put it on the shelf and they continue to work around it. That's always great.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to ask this question. I've already given the answer. I know the answer to this question. What's the biggest challenge in transformation and DevSecOps?
I, you know, and you were asking that question earlier, and I apologize for dancing around it. The biggest challenge is getting buy-in and ensuring people understand what you're talking about.
So communication?
Communication, transparency and communication. I think if people had a better understanding, a better appreciation, and for the IT community ourselves, we have to communicate effectively.
And that's always a challenge, excuse me, but gosh, that's a challenge.
Well, it is. Oh, absolutely. And it's, so why in the beginning, you know, I have my degrees in all those different fields and I can communicate. I can talk to an engineer like an engineer. I can talk to a legal person like a legal person. I can talk to a business person like a business, right? I can be able to flow communications pretty fluently with those different mindsets. And not most folks can do that. So you just, for leaders like myself and my team, we have to do a better job of doing that and communicating and being transparent so folks understand what's up.
You know what I found, though, the most challenging thing about the communication piece was that it's not done early enough, it's not done often enough, and it's not kept up throughout the process.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you'll have an executive go, we're doing DevSecOps and let's go. And then everybody looks at everybody else and goes, man, great. Polite golf clap. Let's go back and do our jobs.
No, you're fair, man. That Maria and Guy, it's why I really enjoyed working for them over the last couple of years. They're all about open kimono. Oh, man, if you came to SBA and see all the postings they do on Yammer and briefings and that we're doing this Ask Me Anything, or we have my staffer, Ariel Crawford. She does these technical point of contact meetings where she introduces new ideas and gets the communities talking to each other. Bingo right there. You have to communicate often and you have to own the communication and you have to be transparent about it. And then when people ask questions, you got to be blunt and answer the questions. Don't dance around it.
It takes more effort than you realize. I wrote down culture, though. You hear all the time, we're doing just fine. This is where communications come in. Communications and culture go hand in hand.
Yeah, so I think that comes into alignment with just being able to upskill and promote, you know, evolution. I mean, technology, especially digital technology, it evolves so quickly these days. And it helps that the public is much more savvier around technology solutions and due in part to the internet. So it's harder for people to maintain a siloed view, and especially the public sector to maintain a siloed view when everyone else is looking at you with a microscope and going, well, what's going on here?
I understand you're heading at a transformation of your internal platforms. Talk to me about that mission and where you're at with it.
I got to give a tip of the hat to Suzette Kent, the federal CIO, because I think she's really embraced that. Suzette has made it very clear with CIO Council, and I've seen it, you know, from the brief outs that me and my colleagues get from Maria, because Maria is part of the CIO Council. You know, we see that. We see that discussion of, hey, trade best practices, connect the dots. If you're doing it and you've got a great solution there, share it. Share it with others to utilize. Don't hold that to only yourself. And, you know, I got to give a massive tip of the hat to Suzette for that, because she really evangelizes and pushes that open sandbox perspective and says, everyone's in the sandbox, let's play. And every agency's got value to add to each other from the big to the small. Like, doesn't matter where you are. If you've got a great solution, put it on the table so others can learn. Best practices, communities of practice. We've initiated a lot of that at SBA, but interagency groups, you know, that are cross-agency, I applaud all that, because everyone's talking to each other and going, oh, I didn't know you could do that with SharePoint, or, oh, whoa, I didn't know you could do that with Drupal, or, oh, wow, that's really cool setup there with that CX perspective.
It's amazing how software is developed these days.
Yeah.
There's lots of poor practices and anti-patterns out there. Do you work with your SBA clients to help them improve their product development and delivery?
Yes. Yeah. And it depends on the nature of the project at hand. But I do think it's always a two-way street. And even in particular with our vendors who work with us, the contractors, you know, they bring their A game up, and I encourage them to talk to each other and collaborate with each other. Absolutely. I also think it helps us make better evidence-based policy decision-making, you know, being able to put something out there and seeing how people react to it and learning from that reaction so we can better improve it.
You've done a lot of policy work across the federal government and private industry too. Talk to me about some of that work.
So from being part of the policy team on Startup America back in the day when we were trying to encourage high growth entrepreneurship efforts across the country, to, you know, my work on in the days of Office of Investment and Innovation on SBIR and helping encourage high tech focused research and development companies, small business companies, to solve tough problems and develop tangible, cutting edge, ahead of its time solutions for tough technology problems, whether it was drug discovery or agriculture, food, water, whatever it may be, you know, energy, clean energy. So I'm a private prior time of my life, I worked in clean energy investments, absolutely. And that's a hard problem. Material science problems are very hard problems to solve, and they usually are capital intensive in nature. And it usually requires some de-risking of the technology. And that requires, in my opinion, the state play a role in that. And the federal R&D apparatus is a very sophisticated one. You don't have the technology evolution that we've had without the state playing a role. Silicon Valley would not have existed without the key investments from the Department of Defense and NASA. And I know that for a fact because I have friends who witnessed it firsthand. And, you know, I got family that was out there during the whole first dot-com boom. And so I watched it.
What do you see as one of the biggest challenges to federal IT, both now and in the future?
Well, I think in this current climate with COVID-19 and what we're seeing there, the remote workforce is going to be a challenge of the sort as to, like, what is the nature and future of work going forward? Who and what do we need resource-wise, you know, for folks to be able to do their job effectively? And I think from an IT perspective, it's going to be being able to leverage what we have and be able to accommodate and, more importantly, deliver so that people can actually help our federal employees and colleagues can actually help the American public effectively and do so in a remote setting and not just have to be able to do it in a 9-to-5 office cubicle setting.
How has the agency adapted in the face of the pandemic response?
I got to give a shout out to my agency leadership again. You know, the work our teams have done, our collective teams have done around PPP and EIDL have been fantastic and amazing. Administrator Carranza has been just fierce and, you know, she's been steady and on it. And my colleagues who've been handling it on the response team, along with me and my team and my colleagues and my bosses, Marie and Guy, they've just been 100 all the way through, just steady, calm leaders. You know, my colleague from SBA, Justin Crossy, really smart guy, and I really loved getting to know him as part of this whole COVID-19 response. He just, this quote still sticks in my head every day, and he says, our job as leaders is to calm crises, not create new ones. And he took that from a show, but I just thought it was a fantastic quote when he told that to me. And I was like, you're totally right, dude. Our job as good, strong leaders is to calm the crises, not create new ones.
You've got a lot going on and making an impact at SBA and beyond. How do you see this impacting the agency in the long term?
I always built a 3 to 5 year plan. I said, look, this is what I'm building. This is what I'm doing. And I said, it's going to live beyond me. That's always been my philosophy. My prior life with SBIR, I said, this is going to live beyond me. You all are going to be the champions taking it forward. And that's what I did. I built it out with the previous leadership, said, here we go. Here's the foundation. Here's your North Star. I stayed in it 4.5 years, got them to their North Star that they needed to do. And I said, you have now a very strong foundation. Go forward. Go architect the path forward, but you're there. And it's the same I'm doing with my team, and my team has been great about it. They get it. It's the long-term plays. And as long as you don't care about the credit and who gets the credit, but you just care about the work getting done, it gets done.
Well, thanks, Nagesh, for spending some time with us today. Really appreciate it. As things evolve here, we'd like to get you back on the show and get your perspective.
Absolutely. And it's been a treat and pleasure. So thank you.
The Agile Advocate is a production of Government CIO Media and Research. For more podcasts, head to governmentcio.com/podcasts. The Agile Advocate is produced by Amy Kluber. It is hosted by Bill Drew. Theme music provided by Big Hoax. If you're interested in sponsoring a podcast, contact us at sponsor@governmentcio.com.